Amen. God bless you all this morning. Good to be with you at the house of the Lord. Let us all stand and we'd open our service with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are truly indeed grateful to be in your house this morning, Father, and Lord, to be able to hear your word, and Lord, to be able to sing some songs of praise to you, Father, and Lord, we just expect the Spirit to be with us here this morning, Lord. Your presence, Lord, is ever known, Lord, because we know that we brought just a little bit of it with us each this morning, Lord, and help us to join our licks of fire together this morning, Lord, that your presence may be felt. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Let's sing a familiar one, number 591, Who I Am. Glorious victory, that day he set me free and made my heart his very throne. My life is no longer mine, I'm a prisoner of love divine. And now I live to praise his name. Who I am, Lord, oh, who I am, I can see now just who I am. A part of my Savior, a part of his word. It's a revelation, it's predestination of who I am. On Calvary he died to redeem his lost bride. The King of Kings became my Savior. This is God's great mystery of his love expressed to me, that Christ and I might be made one. Who I am, Lord, oh, who I am, oh, I can see now just who I am. A part of my Savior, a part of his word. It's a revelation, it's predestination of who I am. Amen. Let's sing that song, number 77, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. death into life everlasting. He passed and we follow him there. Over us sin hath no more dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. God bless you all this morning. As a lot of you might have noticed, there is a bike race going on today, so whenever you leave, I'm sure it'll probably still be going on. So be careful that they don't hit you or you hit them. Amen. This time we'll take our prayer requests to the Lord this morning. Does anyone have one they'd like to make known this time? Amen. Remember our brothers and sisters in France this morning. I'm not sure what exactly the time difference is, but that God would be with them in their meetings and the dedication of the new church this morning. And also pray for Brother Brian as he'll be traveling home on Monday. Continue to remember Brother Caleb. He's the one that needs heart surgery. Also for little Luke Stewart. He is the one that is doing the reconstructive surgery. Also for Brother John's mom, for her continued healing. Also for Brother Brian's continued healing. Brian Chip's continued healing. Also for Brother John McCray and his healing. Special requests related to health is also Brother Collins, Brother Bill Caldwell, Brother Daniel in Congo, Brother Daniel in Australia, and Brother Brian Miller in England. And all our unspoken prayer requests this morning can be known by an uplifted hand. And we go to the Lord with prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are truly indeed grateful to you, Lord, that you are our Father, and Lord, that the sacrifice that was shed on Calvary, Lord, and your word, Lord, is good enough for us, Father. So we lift these requests before you this morning, Lord, and the ones that need healing in their bodies this morning, may you just touch them, Lord, and make their bodies fully whole, Lord, and Lord, help them to confess their healing, Father, and Lord, because if we do confess you and your word, Lord, that our bodies would obey, Father. So, Lord, we just ask that you'd be with us in this service this morning, Lord. May the words that are spoken be edifying, Father. May you be with Brother Brian as the churches gather and the people gather over there for the dedication of the new church, Father. May it be uplifting, Lord. May a spark of revival start for the brothers and sisters in France this morning, Father. And Lord, we just ask that you'd be with us here and for those lifted hands, Lord, and the desires that would be on our hearts, Father, and the prayers that we'd lifted to you, Father, we just ask that you would grant them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Steve, Brother John, if you would come this morning, we'll take up our tithe and offering. Amen. Brother John, would you ask the Lord's blessing this morning?
Heavenly Father, God, thank you, Lord, for being able to come here today, God, and get back to what first belongs to you, Lord. We just ask you to bless this small fortune that you require, God. Bless the gift and the giver, and may it all be used for the glory of your kingdom. And we ask you all this in the name of our precious Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. While they're taking that up, if you want to turn into your book to 566, Flow Through Me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. As I lift my hands in worship, just to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. As I lift my hands in worship, just to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Amen. God bless you now. Let us all stand and we'll change your order of service this morning. Only believe. Only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, that all things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here, that all things are possible now that you're here. Amen. This morning we're going to play about 30 minutes of a tape, and then I have some quotes that I'd like to go over with you about this tape. Brother Brian preached on Wednesday, and a lot of you were here to hear. And we're talking about God's confirmation and how you should listen to tapes. So third Wednesday he talked about, you know, how he would love to see a church that was just full of God, perfect love, more than anything else, that he would, you know, perfect singing or the gifts or whatever they may be. What happens on Thursday, I get to play my tape, you know, when I'm driving. This tape comes on, is exactly what we've been talking about Wednesday. So I hope it's a blessing to you, and then we will go over. I hope I didn't get too many quotes, because once I got to looking them up and reading them, they're just too good not to read. So I hope it doesn't take too long, but we'll go ahead and get started. You can be seated. Brother Branham has already had them being seated.
We should not be turning in the scripture here to read a little check. If I have left out anything, hold one thing, just find this fellow here, the custodian. Such a nice fellow. He knew me, and he's been very nice to me, and I appreciate him with all my heart. And he makes me so welcome. And the Lane Tech High School Board, who lets us come here, God bless them. May this school produce the best that any school could on the ground in America, is my prayer. God be with them. They open their doors for these things. If you ever have a program, I'd come and help you. I sure do. We've got some of the officials are listening. I'll do anything I can to help you because I know you'll be blessed. You open the doors to the gospel. Thank you so much. Now, I've got a little bunch of unseen friends around here tonight. Wish I could call all their names, but I can't. But they sure support me with prayer and so forth and sitting down there in the office with it. I don't know, there might be a musician down there too. Oh, man, I know the musicians, I believe there is. If you just look to your passion over the top of here, you can go to a recording artist that go down there and record these messages. And so I know Brother Dealer, and I know the man sitting next to him, I can't call his name, he's a missionary to the Jews or Arabs or one. And of course, Leo and Gene sitting here, and my co-workers in the gospel, and Brother on that. And the other brother here, he drives down the tabernacle every day. He knows I'm going to be there. And I don't, what is your name? Brother Smith? Smith. And comes way up here around Hammond or Gary or somewhere with a little old car. And somebody looks into the day, a brand new car, and he's got about 87,000 miles on it. Most of that is between here and Chevrolet, driving back and forth. And I know this brother's face, but I can't call his name. Many of you know your face, but just can't call your name. I've got some colored friends that here tonight also down here in New Cup recording out here. The Lord bless you all. Thank you, Brother Joseph. I had a little support. Thank you. Now, we love him with all our hearts, so tonight we're going to take a little scripture lesson, and then I want to try to be in the prayer line going in for tomorrow's Monday. And you've got to go to work, you've got to catch trains out, and I kept you late every night, and you forgive me for that, wouldn't you? And a lot of times I get so enthused when I start. Because I thought preaching. But anyhow, when I'm having a good time, I get so enthused I lose all thoughts of time and everything. So you've been very nice to stay with me, and it just makes me love you with all my heart. Now, I want to read some words out of God's Bible in 1 John, the first chapter, and the 5th verse to the 7th. And I believe we'll just read the 7th verse, and that will make it shorter. You read the whole chapter when you get home and you can. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that marvelous? Let's ask you to bless the reading of his word now. Heavenly Father, bless thy word tonight, and may go out to every heart and find a dwelling place and never leave no more. Grant Lord. And now circumcise the lips of the unworthy person that's to speak, and circumcise all the ears of these people who are to hear. And give glory out of service, for we ask it in Jesus' name, our loving Son. Amen. Now I want to speak to you just a little while tonight. It has been such a wonderful week on the way to have fellowship. Now we know that I was going to continue my service tonight. The children of Israel over in the homeland. Joshua take them over where we left last night when he was crossing the Red Sea. But I wouldn't have time in this prayer line so we could catch trains and so forth and get home and go to work in the morning. Now, this is to be short. We can talk to you just short on this, but how that every person desires fellowship. I've never seen anyone yet who did not desire fellowship. That is, was all right, mentally balanced. Now, you might want to pick your fellowship. Of course, that's true to every one of us. That's the reason tonight that all these fine people that are packed out here in this building to a place where they're standing is because that they like this type of fellowship. They like Christian fellowship. And that's why we come tonight to fellowship around the Word. I love the Word, don't you? And And you know why you love the Word? You have the Holy Spirit in you. For the Bible said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the Holy Spirit feeds on the Word. And then when you hear the Word, everyone wants to hear it. No matter every little piece of literature they can pick up, they read it, and they listen to the radio, and they go to church, and so forth, because they are longing for that fellowship around the Word. And may God help us tonight to realize how we can have a perfect fellowship. No matter where storms come, whether you're right or wrong, you can still have fellowship. And only way you can have fellowship as your love perfects. Don't ever forget me. If I don't see something anymore, remember this, that my theme is love covers it all. I believe in the redeeming love of the Lord Jesus. I love this song. Ever since by faith I saw the stream God pouring wounds to fly, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. I'd rather have a church. Listen. I would rather have a church that knows nothing about any spiritual gift and just be so in love with each other, with Christ. I'd rather have that than every spiritual gift operating in the church. Now, that might sound hard in a Pentecostal group, but I would rather have it. Where there is gifts, they'll fail. Where there is gifts, they'll bring confusion. Where there is gifts, they can be questioned. But where there is love, it is perfect. That's right. And if you have perfect love, you have perfect gifts. That's right. So work first with love. That brings fellowship. And fellowship brings gifts. Now, the reason why it is that people perhaps like different things, like fellowship, is because first man was made to fellowship. Now just think of tonight. As much as I long to go hunting, fishing, in the outdoors, yet my heart is more hungry to get on top of that mountain and talk to God than anything I know of. See, I want to be alone. I want to know there's nobody 100 miles from me. I love people. But the only way I can minister to people is to first get the message from God. And I know this one thing, that my faith tells me that every person that's born again that I preach to, I'll have an eternity to fellowship with. But we want to bring more in out of the darkness. That was our poor lost brothers and sisters out there tonight in Slough. I passed by Skid Row last night as my boy and boy was a kid, and see those poor people down there drinking and think that they don't know what they do. I thought if they only knew my Jesus, they sure wouldn't be down there. And that's the only thing that could save them from that chaos that they're in. There's no medicine, nothing. An alcoholic is a perfect total annihilation from any help at all outside of Jesus Christ. That's right. There's no cure. I've been on the fiery. I've been in big alley in France to the lowest slums that I could find, talking and praying and so forth. And the only hope for them people is the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing. The only hope. Now, what makes man want to fellowship is because he was made that way. He was made to have fellowship. What fellowship is? I got 4 days driving to do starting tomorrow. I got 4 days to drive about 2,500 miles, and I have to drive it by myself in a little old truck. And someone, a friend of mine, is coming down this word this afternoon to ride all the way out there with him, ride back by himself on a Greyhound bus just to have fellowship. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I appreciate friends like that. God bless his little Swiss horse. I love him. Wanting to ride just to be with him 4 days across the mountains and prairies over and under just to have fellowship. We love each other dearly as dearly beloved brothers. And then have to ride all the way back up to Shawano, Wisconsin on a bus or somehow just to get back. Oh, that makes my heart jump. And now if God is so longing to have fellowship with you children that he's come all the way from glory and died to have fellowship with us. Isn't that marvelous? So wonderful to think. Now in the beginning, man had fellowship. First, we realize if we can have fellowship with God, then don't worry, God will take care of the rest of it. The main thing is the kingdom. I've got the four parts here. I've had fellowship with God, fellowship with one another, and so forth. But we want to talk only on the one phase of it is the fellowship with God. And now I'm going to watch that clock there to be sure that I get the paradigm started in time. But fellowship with God is what the first and original fellowship that human beings had was with God. There wasn't even another living creature on the earth that he could fellowship with Adam but God. Then God made him a helpmate, a wife, which is part of him. And could you imagine? In the evenings when the sun had gone down, going steady way back in the west, and that streaks of light coming down through those great evergreen trees, God's great cathedral, and you hear the roar of the gongs to the top of the trees, and Adam and Eve sitting out there in the garden in God's great cathedral, having fellowship with God. Everybody longs to do that. Every Christian longs to have fellowship. Isn't that right? I've read stories of man who spent a lifetime really going high into the hills, going down to the lakeside, just hunting for a spot for fellowship. But after all, you don't have to go anywhere but the Calvary. That's the only way. There's a way. There's only one way that you can go to fellowship. And notice, then not wait. There hasn't really been in this age, it's been in all ages. Just think Job, way the oldest book in the Bible. He longed for fellowship. He knew there was a creator. And he believed him with all his heart. And he said it in a child way of saying, oh, if I could only get to him. If I only knew where he lived, then I could look out on his door and talk to him just a little while. Wouldn't we all love to do that? But think he's closer to you than his door. His door is your heart. And he's so close tonight, he's closer to you than your right arm is. He's part of you. And if we can only realize that he's here tonight, he wants to have fellowship with us. His heart is greater for fellowship than ours. Our reason makes us that way because we're offspring of him. That's what makes us long for fellowship. That's what makes a mother would die for her baby. Why? That's what makes a father would give his life for his wife. A husband, a true husband, would give his life for his wife. Why? Because Christ gave his life for the church's wife. It's a strain in them. And it makes a mother dash to a burning fire, not thinking about her own self, and her hair on fire, her clothes on fire, to grab her baby and run out with it. Why? It's the love of a parent. And God is the first and original parent. And that's where that strain comes to, because the woman gave birth to the child. And that's the reason God comes down, manifested in the flesh, and went to the very plains of hottest of suffering that he might bring us into fellowship. They can go, God, we're going, not my will, thine be done. How that wonderful fellowship that we have with each other and with God. Now, God intended this fellowship. So what separated, what keeps man from having that direct talk like Adam did? I've often thought that Adam, out of the Garden of Eden, knowing no sin, or Eve, his wife, beautiful, standing in the garden. And then Leo, the lion, would come up. Here comes the tiger, the great beast of the fields, come up into this cathedral, kneeling on their knees, and they, even the beasts didn't have any killing about them. They were no death nowhere. The devil is what makes wild animals most aversive. And if you can produce in your heart the right kind of a love towards the most horrible beast there is in the woods or the desert, that beast won't harm you. It's right. I know it by experience. But you can't pretend it. He knows whether you do or not. There's something about him that he knows it. But if you're really not afraid, I've never seen anything that would hurt you. No matter if it's mine, whatever it might be, you'll walk away from it. But if you run or act like you're scared or something, then you'll get tickled. So if you can't just make it up, you've got to really know it in your heart that you're not afraid. That's the trouble with men tonight. That's what the trouble with people tonight. You're scared. That's the biggest curse there is on the full gospel people or any other people. It's because they are afraid. God has made the provision, but you're afraid to take His word for it. If you were fussed and afraid tonight, why, you would take your healing by faith and know that God promised it, and the thing would just go come away from you. Afraid, scared. And I've noticed it. And that's the reason I'm such a believer in healing. I know that if you can get away from that scare and get love in its place, something's going to happen. There's only two faculties that govern the human, and one of them is faith, which brings results, and the other is fear, which has no value in it at all. Faith is of God. Fear is of the devil. Fear makes you weary. Fear makes you wonder. And if I was going to die in the morning, what good would it do me to get all stood up about it? What if I was going to be executed in the morning? And my life had to end tomorrow morning. What good would that do me to worry about it? Well, you say, what good would it do to have faith? Faith can sign my pardon. Sure, it's bad in your faith. Don't be weary, don't be scared, don't be upset. Just have faith and believe. And the only way you can have faith, you have to have love first, for love produces faith. For perfect love, yes, perfect love casts out all fear. Wish I had time to tell you the experiences of why, right? Of what I've seen comfort by faith, by love. I told you tonight about the old fox and me tonight. I seen a vicious bull one day was going to kill me. This is on record, I began for it. I was going over the hill to pray for a sick man. And we're supposed to pack a gun, but you would go to pray for a sick man with a gun. So I tucked the gun and laid in a little old truck and crossed over to the field, and I was way out in the field, and I knew I had an office thought that this killer bull was out there. He just killed a colored man on a farm just at first, just about 3 months before that, and sold him up there to the people that had these German cattle. And then when I started across the field right out in a big open field, and not over about 30 yards from it, this big fellow raised up and blew his horn down and let out a big bell or a fugue or what I'm talking about. And there he was, horns about like this, and here he comes. At first it scared me. I looked for a tree and he wasn't in a tree. And I knew he could outrun me to the fence. So I thought, well, this is it. So then something happened. Oh, God, if that would only stay there instead of going away. Something happened. I wish God would let it happen to everybody here tonight, so I'm going to get healed. Something happened that I wasn't scared of it. I felt sorry because I deserved it. I did this deal. He was laying out there, not bothered me. I come on both sides. And so I felt sorry for him. Now, you can't bluff it, but it has to be there. That's the way faith is. You can't bluff. You've got to really have it. The devil knows it. And this fellow started towards you, his head down, just as hard as he could. I was more afraid of that bull than I would be of any of my dear brothers and sisters down with the family. And he ran within about 5 feet of me, and he stopped. He looked at me so depleted, he looked right at that. I said, fella, I'm sorry I disturbed you. I said, now you're God's creature and I'm God's servant. Now the Creator made you, made me, and I am His servant. I'm on my journey across the hill to pray for one of these sick children. If I wanted you to lay in there, I would have come by and disturbed you. So now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Creator, go back and lay down. At the judgment bar, he was brought into life. That door was to be accused, turned around, walked over, and laid down. And I stood there, the tears running down my cheeks. I walked within 5 foot of that woman here, reading 30 days and looked at me. Why? Instead of hating him, I loved him. Love will conquer anything. Right. That's what conquered my heart when I know that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son, that I wouldn't have to perish. Know that I was born in this world a sinner and was perishing. And God loved me that he gave his son for my life to be redeemed. And that I couldn't hate no more. I had to love. That's what brings these results, as you see. It's love. I don't know, I might have told this, I have told it before. Hundreds of little things happened. One day I was mowing my yard. I had to get in the backyard, the front yard is growing up for it, hit the back. Kind of people come in and pray for it. And see, as Joseph said a while ago, Chuck, here, this is just Chicago. And home is all around the world. See, where people are coming and going from all parts of the world. And when I was mowing this grass, I run in and forgot about it. There's a hornet's nest back there. And I hit that fence with this mowing machine, and I was covered over with hornets. And a great big trouble. It would knock you down when you hit. At first, I was scared, true. No shirt on. And something other happened. I was sorry I hit those calls, not because I sprayed it through a good sun, but really, it sounds juvenile. But if we could just be more juvenile, if we could be more childlike, it's the simplicity of God that turns college students around. Be simple in those things. Just like a baby. Just relax and believe. Don't try to push yourself. Just relax and believe. Don't try to work yourself up. Oh, God, how do we review that moment? No good. No, just believe it and walk on. So when that happened, I thought, there's four little fellows up there in their nest now. And here I am hit the fence and knocked them out of their nest. That big old mowing machine I pushed. And I said, you little creatures of God, I'm sorry that I hit this fence. I'm sorry I disturbed you. Now, I'm God's servant. I'm praying for his six children. I heard him over his yard. So now you rush back into your nest. I won't bother you no more. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Started my mower off again, stopped it, and I pulled the string and started off like that. And then the bees just hung all around my naked shoulders. And they took a beeline and went right back into the nest. Just saved it all. Love! I can't produce it, I can't work it up. God's got to give it. There's what it is tonight. God has to give it. Then love produces a fellowship. Now when God said back there, the day that sin separated that divine love, God told Adam and Eve not to eat these certain fruits that they did, and sin brought separation, and sin by separation brought hatred, malice, strife, envy. Is that right? What happened? They separated from divine love. And when you separate from divine love, then you can't overlook your brother's mistakes no more. You've got to call it out for it. That's right. You can't overlook sister's mistakes no more because you've got to win that divine part, that love part. But if you really love the Lord Jesus, if sister or brother does something to you, oh, well, that's all right. They didn't mean to do it. That's the kind of love that Christ has. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What if he had held my sins against me? For an awful person I was, but he loved me so well that he forgave me for it. When I was undone, he forgave me. He loved me. Pure love. And when Adam separated himself from pure love of keeping God's word in his heart, when he did that, then he began these other faculties come in. Malice, envy, strife, hatred, so forth. Now, when God seen that his children had separated, he come down for fellowship. And there was no one there to welcome.
You remember that night I preached on the woman washing Jesus' feet? He was unwelcome by the Pharisees. He's unwelcome tonight in many people. He's unwelcome in many churches, many cities. Look, when Israel was dividing up their land, there was, I believe that it was Gad was one of them, and perhaps the Hag tribe, they didn't go over into the promised land. They stayed on this side, borderline. Jesus visited that same people. And look at the results of staying out of the full benefits of God's love. When Jesus visited them, he went over in Galilee. That's where they were dwelt. That's where they lived. That's where they come from, right there. And their attitude was still the same way. Because they had to cost them a bunch of hogs to have the meeting, they asked Jesus to leave the land. They didn't want nothing to do with it. They had their own ways. They had their own churches. They didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. So they asked him to leave the land. But he went anyhow because there was one soul calling for him. Just think, cross that stormy lake. Over across there, to find one soul in need that was in love for one needy soul. He'll come from glory tonight to this school auditorium for one needy soul. That'll believe you. And so then when sin came in, it separated man from fellowship. Notice what God did to bring man back to fellowship. He introduced to the world a blood redemption. God killed animals and what for their skin, showing the blood redemption, and there God, after being separated from his creatures, God laid out the welcome mat back home by the shedding of the blood. And that was then and has been and will always be God's provided preparation for a fellowship with him and through the shed blood. Friend, listen to me in just a few moments, while we see about 12 minutes yet. Look, I want to ask you, they have tried hard to substitute education for that blood. It'll never work. They have tried hard to substitute denominations to bring fellowship. Educate people, the world today. As Brother Tommy hits that wonderful little brother was sure today gave us his story back to behind the Iron Curtain. There is Russia and all of its culture and science trying to bring a fellowship to communism, to science and culture, and denying the blood of Jesus, when the blood of Christ is the only way that you can have fellowship. Nothing will take its place. Thanks be to God. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be intelligent. You just have to have a humble, submitted heart. Thank God. He introduced blood. Now, I want you to watch closely now. We were speaking of Job a while ago. Job used this same preparation. The oldest book in the Bible, even before Genesis was written, Job was written. And Job was a righteous man, a man who feared God. And troubles came to him. But I want you to notice that before the troubles come, Job made preparation for this trouble. Listen, friend, sinner friend, there's trouble right ahead of you tonight. That's the valley of the shadows of death. You better make preparations for the only friend who can walk with you through that. Right, make preparations for it. Job had a bunch of daughters and sons. And when he knew that they were out, like birds, people raise up children today. I feel sorry for fathers and mothers today, being a parent myself. And only one reason I'm trying to get my children away from our city. We don't have any Christian schools there. And I want to get them somewhere where they'll be brought up in school. In a real fundamental school. Where they'll learn the love of the Lord. The teaching that I can give them around home, yet they get out with that word of the crowd. The devil is a shrewd fellow, and he pushes that into them. If you can keep them under the Spirit, under the get old enough to receive the Holy Ghost and know what it's all about, then God will take care of the rest. But first, we got that little adolescent baby. Now, every person think of their children. While they're under your wings, you can watch them, but once out from under the wings, then the devil's got every little oscar he can out there to associate with your children, the infidelic and mean and devilish and everything else. God help us. This juvenile delinquency here in New York, Chicago, and these big cities, what the papers are writing up, how they kill one another and everything, little children, little boys and girls, killing and murdering and shooting and so forth like that. If those poor little kids only realize that that's the devil. Sure, what brought on juvenile delinquency was parent delinquency. The parents failing to take care of the children. You remember a few years ago when my boy was born. That's been about, I think he's about 19 now. I remember the doctor told my wife, said, just let that kid squall. But it ain't gonna hurt him. Then his grandma comes along to pick him up, said, take her, keep her hands off of him. Say he ought to be crib broken 6 months old. Now you know better than that. Sounds like a talking of a witch doctor instead of a real doctor. And then you know what it hatched out? It hatched out a bunch of neurotics. And a bunch of gangsters. Listen, God gave you that baby to love. I don't care how bad you spoil it, love it anyhow. Right? Love it. If you don't love it now, it'll grow in a cold home and indifferent. It'll seek love somewhere or something. It'll make an outline for somewhere. Mother, take that baby and give it fellowship and love now. Make it a part of you, which it is. And act like it, and hug it, and kiss it, and love it. Don't be too cold with the things of the world. God gave you that as a treasure. Raise it right. Amen. Notice, that's what's the matter. We got away from the things of God. You get away from nature, and then you're out of the will of God. Now, I want you to notice then. Joel, thinking of these children, he said, now, for venture, when they go out, they might sin. So he offered the only preparation that he knew about was the burnt sacrifice and shedding of blood. And he shed the blood of the lamb for his children, making preparation if they did sin. You see it? Job was mindful of his children to make a preparation for their sin. And mother and father, if we would quit spending money on our children learning tap dancing and things like that, and some kind of how to be an actor, and put more time of bleeding the blood of Jesus up over them and showing them love and fellowship, we'd get along better. The child would too. Teach your child. I believe that every parent would take their child and the first parent come back to God and take the beer out of the ice box and take the cards off the table, or you say it's innocent, you see what it hashes out. Brother, I wouldn't let a card lie on my ground. No, sir. It's the devil's thing. Keep away from it. You say you're old fashioned, Brother Branham. Well, it was an old fashioned gospel saving. Amen. It's old fashioned salvation makes me happy. It's old fashioned Holy Ghost that heals me. It's the same thing that's going to take us home to glory. Sure. Teach your child. Look here. Look what the world can do. Now, this is little clean things, I suppose. I ain't got nothing to do with it. But look here. Every kid in town could tell you who David Crockett was. He's on his teaspoons, on his hat, on his tie, everywhere. David Crockett. The world taught the children, America, by a fad, taught all the children about David Crockett. They came from Tennessee when he was born, all about your two-skinned cat, killed a bear, when he was three, and all these kind of fiction things. They know all about David Crockett. And you're unwilling, and I can tell them about it. Well, if they can learn about David Crockett, and dress like David Crockett, and act like David Crockett, surely you can teach them about Jesus Christ, and they would act like right as well as they run their shop. Fellowship around the Bible. Tell them Jesus loves them. David Crockett is true, but not good in the bear 3 years old. I doubt that. A lot of those things. You read a lot of fiction. A lot of them stories are fiction. When I was a little boy, I had this admiration for William Tell, which I had long before I did. When I got out there in Switzerland, it's not a word of truth. It's all fiction. Right. It wasn't William Tell, too. There was something I had long before I did. Know nothing about it. But it's just fiction and stories it's told. Let's get the truth to the people. Let's not fellowship with that. Let's fellowship with God and with the Bible and with the Holy Spirit. Make reparations for our children. And notice, when the trial finally comes, and Job went through the testing, oh, I love it. Excuse me, I'm not emotional, but I just get the feeling of it. I love it. Testing. God testing his children. Don't you love it? Every trial is a testing proving ground. This is the testing time. God's testing his people. Getting them ready. Before you buy a team of horses, you go out and test them, check them. Let them pull a while. Let them see if their wind goes and got lenses in their nose. So forth. Do you ever got lenses in their nose for windows and horses? You do. Alright. Got your automobile. Doctor up and test cash oil and buy oil before you go. All these other things, testing. God put his children through the test. That's what happened. So he can show his love to you. Now, the testing, Joel went on the test God for God. Yes, he did his thing, but he didn't. Why did he know he had to see? He knew he'd come the only way there was to come through the shed blood. He made a sacrifice. He confessed his sins up on the face of the shed blood. He knew he was justified in the sight of God, no matter what he was. He knew he was justified. He was justified by his faith in God's provided sacrifice. He believed. All right. And when the testing comes, it proves out to be true. God took everything he had. He took his children, killed all them. Took all his cattle, sheep, camels, killed all them. Done everything, broke his own body out from himself, but he still loved the Lord. Because he had come God's way and to make connections with God. And once you connect God to the shed blood, you know that your son is there. You're not taking theology, you're taking what the blood witnesses do. There you are. Notice, God restores me all that we are. He doubled. He doubled his sheep, he doubled his camel. But you notice he just gave his seven children. That's what he had. What children were they? They were the same children he lost. They were under the blood. They were in glory waiting for him. That's the way I have the children in the tonight, if you have your children, sure, he's with them tonight. And will be forevermore. Israel had to shed blood of the Lamb, the only way and the only place that Israel the worship was under the shed blood. All the sacrifices and everything was brought into one common place, and there on the great altar they burnt the body and sprinkled the blood. And God, listen, here it is now, God only met Israel under the shed blood. The only meeting place that God made his people under the shed blood. No other way. He won't get you in your denomination. He won't, as good as it may be. He won't meet you with your education, your theology, as good as it may be. He will only meet you under the shed blood. The only places God met Israel was under the shed blood. The only way he could talk to Adam and Eve under the shed blood. The only way the element that came from his body is what we brought into his body by. There came from his body water, blood, spirit. Spirit is the thing that brings you in. The preparation of the blood is what cleanses. Of the waters of separation. As the red heifer was first made waters of separation. And every believer coming to the temple first stop in the court. Just a moment. Stop in the court portal. Waters of separation scattered there, and they were sprinkled. The waters of separation is the Word. The Word of God. The waters of separation. Through the washing of the water by the Word. You come and hear the Word, and the first thing it does is separate you to move your thoughts from the evil to the good. Then the next thing they did after leaving the court, they come toward the temple. On the temple in the wilderness was seven strokes of blood that was took by the high priest's finger at the dying of the heifer and stroke across the door, showing that every believer coming to this fellowship was put in as a substitute, died, and prepared away. Every man that cometh into this wonderful fellowship, first must faith come by hearing, hearing by the word, then recognize the blood of Jesus Christ, God's welcome back home to fellowship. And you must recognize the blood was shed for you, his life was given your earth, that you might have fellowship. Then the Holy Spirit, as you come behind the veil into the curtain chair, baptizes you, the water, blood, spirit. Baptizes you into the body of Christ, then there it is, brothers and sisters. Listen closely now, and close. That's when you'll never cause glory over the Lord. No. Once get behind the curtain, that is his flesh. Let the Holy Spirit cleanse you by the blood, bring you into Christ. Then you have fellowship. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin at the door. Now we have fellowship one with another. Think of it. A Methodist brother can shake my hand as a Baptist and a Pentecostal and a Nazarene and a Jewish woman, Presbyterian, whatever we are, we can shake one another's hands and have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Hope you will get it. He gave his son to be known. The son had to shed his blood. He resurrected his body. His body and bones was in the presence of God tonight. But his blood still stains the earth. And through that shed blood come forth the life into the blood, and the life is the Holy Ghost, which has come back, Jesus said, a little while. Listen. And the world will see me no more. Yet you shall see me. For I'll be fellowshipping with you to the end of the world. I, personal pronoun, will be fellowshipping. I'll be with you. Wherever two or three are gathered together, I'll be in the midst. Fellowshipping with you to the end of the world. Do you recognize that he's raised in the dead night? Instead of friends of mine, I love you. God knows I don't want you to be a sinner. I don't want you to be a sinner. But would you like to enjoy a real fellowship like you've never had before? It'll be a cup of coffee and a cigarette anytime. It'll be a drink of whiskey or a cow and a knife to spoil the morals of some girl or whatever. Won't you come? May God be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to talk. If I want to fix something in my life, it's real. Jesus is real. He's raised to the dead. He'll be right here at the platform in a few minutes doing the same thing he did back there to prove to you people that he sure wants fellowship. You won't doubt him anymore, will you? Let's have fellowship tonight. Won't you do it? Don't have no mercy, God. Here you are. I'm right now fellowshipping, and this is the time. I'm taking you as your word. You're speaking to me, not to Brother Ben, but to your Bible. Then your gift is speaking to you this way, to recognize to a human body that you are here, and I got fellowship with you. I'm going to walk out of here, and I believe with all my heart. Shall we bow our heads?
Amen. I love how God proves His word. Amen. I enjoy listening to the tapes, and whenever you hear the things that, you know, Brother Brian's been bringing out about the life of Christ, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all those things, and they just start coming together, and one can't be separated from the other. How love is connected to faith, and faith and love are connected to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is the life of Christ. Amen. Let's read a few quotes. I got a few good ones here. Is that a big enough? It is good enough. Now, a confirmation of the presence of God is that he's here through the Word. Then He's here through gifts. Now, notice how they work and how they are confirmed. Quickly, I shall hurry quickly now. And your faith is getting real high. I believe just about as high as I can see faith rise. The thing you need now is to let your faith loose, see? But what you're wondering is to get up there on the platform seeing those people healed here. But if you'll just turn yourself, your faith loose out there where you are, it'll be just the same where you are. It's your faith anyhow, see? It's your faith. Only faith is the only way you can get it from God. Anything. You get salvation, forgiveness, anything comes from God through faith. Believe it. Accept it. No matter what it looks like here, we don't look at what we see, we look at what we don't see. Is that right? Anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he cannot understand the kingdom of God unless he's born again. See, you have to accept it by faith. And then when it comes into you, you understand it. You accept healing the same way. Stay right with it. Not what you look at, what you believe, what you understand to be the truth, what you are looking at, the unseen. Then stay with that. That's why all those visions, I just lay my life right on any, for it never fails. I have faith in it. I believe it. If I can get you to believe it, the same thing, it's over then, see? And every little cell of blood is a life. And there you are, all charged, full of the Holy Ghost. Why, certainly. They walked on water. They done great miracles and so forth. Why? They were so perfect in harmony with God, that first church and Christian friend, until we can get back to that. We can't argue and quarrel and fuss with denominations and get it and ever get to it. Denominations won't bring us to it. It's a perfect love and confidence in God. Just what brings it, see? There you are. And, of course, he's talking about perfect love. And we may speak with tongues. We may be great teachers of theology, and some have DDs hanging on us. But it'll never work until that. This and this comes in harmony, see? That makes. Like the light. You take the one wire off, negative or positive, it certainly won't work. That's all. It's got to have the ground. It's got to be grounded good, and that's all it's got to have. That's right type of wire and everything, and it'll pack the current. That's all it needs. Well, if we're really grounded in Christ, see, the Holy Ghost in us, and rooted and grounded in the faith of God, it'll certainly pack the light of the gospel to the world. That's right. It'll heal the sick, and it'll do the same works. Do the great works. And that's the inside man. Let me read you something here. How about Babylon, where Joshua, when God sent Joshua over a cross there, and he utterly destroyed little babies, children, everything else. And if he let one thing live, he wiped everything out. Little Philistine babies, he just destroyed them. God commanded him. And if he didn't do it, it was his own life. I'm going to fix it up in a few minutes. God is love, perfect love. But you don't know what love is. That's why today people don't know what faith is. God is love. He has to be in love. He's sovereign to his word, and he keeps his word, and he has to love you. And if he loves you, he's got to protect you. Electricity will light up if you'll work according to the law of electricity. Is that right? If you had an artesian well on this side of the hill putting out thousands of gallons of water per minute, and over on that side of the hill, another hill, you've got a crop burning up, needing water. Now, no matter how much you scream to the water, go on the hill and water the crop, it'll never do it. But if you work according to the way of gravity and run that water over on the hill, it'll water the crop. Is that right? But you've got to do the work according to the law of gravitation. Well, now, if God is here, all in this building right now, do you believe that? We're all conscious. We're wishing. Wished I. You couldn't get it all in one night, see? You see? You're conscious that God is here. Now, the only thing that we can do is work according to the law of God for our healing, for God, for our healing. Is that right? What is the law of God? His love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Love and faith is the same thing. See, love, perfect love, casts out all fear, which gives faith. See? I think that just kind of goes to show you. Back when, even 10 years for me, I can see a lot of difference in my life even. I was a lot more bold in just, if God's word said it, that's all, and I'd step right out on it for praying for somebody or whatever it was, and God would honor that prayer. I don't know what it is about getting older. You start getting a little bit more, I guess you start reasoning a smidgen more or something, or letting the devil get in there and you know, put a little bit of doubt in there. And doubt is fear. I want to get back to that spot where if his word said it, that's all that matters, and you step out and you walk on it. Amen? And then I believe that Jesus said, he said, the things that I do, you shall do also to the end of the world. I believe that these things was to accompany the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then in the scripture teaches, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We find out what he did in that day. He's duty bound to his word, to my humble opinion, to keep his word before his people. If I promise you to be here and deliberately, now God don't make a promise lest he can back it up. I can make a promise and I may have to back up. But God doesn't have to do that. And if he promised that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever, the things that he did, the church would do also, even to the end of the world. He's duty bound to his word to do the things that he promised. Now, the only thing will keep it from happening is our unbelief. That's all. It's the only thing. This loving him. Oh, we say we have faith, we have love, but if we had love, we'd have faith. For perfect faith casts out all fear. And when fear is gone, faith is perfect. You're scared. He wouldn't keep his word, but I believe that he does, and now we'll find what he did. When he was here, he didn't say, bring me this one, let me heal it. Very much contrary. I believe he can raise the dead. But he didn't raise all the dead. He only raised three people, as the scripture quotes, in all of his ministry. And the voice now from no one, the same voice that spoke in the room was still with me. Now, Brother Branham here in this is talking about where he went behind the curtain of time. He said that this is perfect love. And I've always taught the evidence of the Holy Ghost is perfect love. See, I believe in speaking in tongues, sure, but though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am nothing, becoming a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. So when you speak with tongues and got love with it, that'll show. And the love that we would do, would have here, would be like starting here from a shadow of the shadow of the shadow into the shadow, and from the shadow into the mist, and to a little moisture, and into a creek, and then into a river, and then into the ocean. That's where it arrived at there, just perfect, everything. You couldn't die, you couldn't be any sin. Oh, I'd never be able to explain what that place was. See, it was just perfect, beyond perfect. And just then, there it was. I kind of like that quote, and it's kind of hard to read because Brother Brown's a little bit cut up, but he's talking about the same thing Brother Brian's been talking about, where the shadow, it, you know, in the likeness of Christ, you keep getting closer and closer. So it went from just a little bit of mist into, you know, or a fog into a mist, and from a mist into a river or a creek, and then in a creek to a river, and on down until it was the whole thing. So no matter where you are in your growth in the Lord, like your where you are in your Christian walk, whether you're at the river stage or whether you're at the mist stage, you got a little bit of it, and you got to keep growing on it. Amen. And I'll read you this last one. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like. Go no place you wouldn't want to be if Christ would come. Say nothing you wouldn't want to say when Christ comes. Do nothing that you wouldn't want to do when Christ comes. Think nothing you wouldn't want to be thinking when Christ comes. Keep your one motive, your heart centered on Calvary. Amen. Walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's Methodist, Baptist, and all of us together. Makes us all one in Him. I like that scripture, and it kind of becoming more realistic. And you know, remember some of you were here when Brother Don started his sermon was on this scripture. Walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. That whole scripture couldn't be complete without us having fellowship one with the other. You can't be walking in God's Word and not having fellowship one with the other. You can't separate that scripture. So that's why I found that tape that you guys listened to this morning very encouraging. The way to have fellowship. Amen. I got a little bit of a story. I appreciate how God is working in my life. And since I've been in Ohio, and especially since we've started, you know, the listen to the series that Brother Brian has been bringing out, I see how that love is starting to manifest itself in my life. And it's just simple stuff. And I'll tell you just a little story. Brian and Elizabeth were both helping us get the north side of the house ready. Well, when I first bought the property, of course, you all know there was like 3 feet of water in the basement. It was very dungeonous down there, wet, cold. It was like a cave. Well, I had a bat living down there, a couple actually. And, you know, I never did run them off. You know, they were there before I was, and of course I was going to have to get them out of there at some point. Well, I think Brother Steve and Faith might have finally got rid of them when they were down there working and rewiring, because, you know, they'd sleep all day. And of course, that's when they were there working. Well, I never knew where they went. And one of them was actually in the tar paper outside the blue door on my house. Well, Brian and them don't know that it's there, and they're hammering nails and, you know, getting the stuff ready for the sighting. Well, the little bat runs, he flies out, and the only thing I hear is Brian and Elizabeth holler into the top of their lungs because this thing had flown in their face, you know, in Brian's face. And now his reaction was to swat it. Well, he killed the bat. You know, and Elizabeth, they were telling me how horrible this bat was and it carries diseases. In my heart, I actually felt sad because that little animal was there before us. And you hear the story where Brother Branham talks about the bees and the killer bull. You know, and I'm glad that God would put that little bit of love in my heart. You know, I didn't want to see the poor little guy die. But, you know, he probably would have had to try to find somewhere else, and it was a natural reaction. I'm not saying Brother Brian didn't have love or Sister Elizabeth, but I'm just saying that's what I felt. You know, that's what we should all feel. And it's not a love. I mean, I don't care for bats. And you say, well, you wouldn't kill a snake. Well, I probably would kill a snake. But you see what I'm saying? It isn't there. It's just growing. And not that I don't like to hunt. You know, I like to hunt deer. I like to hunt. Brother Branham liked to hunt. But as a testimony, I can feel, and I hope you can too, as we continue to go through these series, that we continue to become and grow more Christian-like. And not that we, you know, it scared Brian pretty good because it flew right in his face, you know, and what is that when you're up there trying to work? But I was sad. You know, I didn't want to see a little animal die, you know, if it didn't have to. It was a natural reaction. But my reaction was, you know, because he'd been there, you know, the whole time. So, you know, God loves little animals. But I feel that, you know, if we can continue to grow in his likeness, that if we were to ever encounter something as wild as a killer bull, that God would have instilled in us that perfect love where who knows what happened. Did that bull see angels standing around Brother Branham with their swords drawn? Is that why he stopped? You know, was God protecting his prophet? Or was it a sense, you know, of perfect love? And Brother Branham was an outdoorsman, so he uses the outdoor stories, you know, and I appreciate those. And as I was, you know, growing up, I've heard this sermon probably, I don't know, 20 times. And I've heard him talk about the bull and the bees and everything. But then it also comes down to the third pull, where Brother Branham is out there and the brothers are fishing away and he gets the little fish and it swallowed the whole hook. And it's, you know, what do you do? You know, you couldn't pull it out. So he just pulls it out. Everything inside the little fish comes out. And he just throws it out there. Well, that little fish shot its last wad. And it sat there for I don't know how long, and they continued to fish. But God seen something more. Speak to the fish. Give it life again. The fish is not significant. Brother, Jesus ate fish. But something about that, the life, you know, the third pull, I believe as we continue to grow into the likeness of Christ, that's what will take over for us, is that perfect love that Brother Branham's talking about. I'm glad that I can grow with you. You know, I'm not perfect. And I think that a lot of times, if we don't have perfect love in our lives, Brother Brandon didn't say this, but I'll say it, it's probably because you haven't been able to forgive someone or something that's holding you back. Brother Branham said, if your brother slaps you, or if someone slaps you on the face, you turn the cheek. That's kind of hard to do. Now, Brother Branham also talked about fellowship. You draw yourself to the people that you enjoy fellowshipping with. If you went to a place and you constantly got beat up, why would you go there? You know? You go to the place where you do have fellowship. And if you find yourself at a spot where you can't, you feel like you can't move forward and that love isn't growing in your heart, get on your knees and find out why. Is there something in your life that is blocking you? Because as a Christian, you're supposed to forgive whether someone asks you or not. Because as Christians and as sons and daughters of God, what we retain is retained. What we remit is remitted. So if you retain that unforgiveness towards someone, it isn't hurting them. They're gone. They're doing whatever they're doing. And they don't think about it, but it hinders you. So how do you get to that perfect love? Shake it off. You know, go on. If somebody does you wrong, I forgive you. Amen. That's what the life of Christ is to be, is to take the lower road. Doesn't mean you get stomped on. Christians are strong. They have the armor of the Lord, breastplate of righteousness and the shield of salvation. But we take the lower road, amen. So God bless you. I just wanted to share you a couple testimonies, and it's hard to read these quotes, and Brian will put them online. But if you read them yourself, I have a hard time reading anyways, and then top Brother Brandon's off. These really did me a lot of good. So if you get a chance to go online and you want to read them for yourself, you can. But remember Brother Brian in prayer, and we are thankful to the Lord that the brothers and sisters in France have gotten a church and a place that they can join up together, you know, I think, and have a fellowship and worship together. So God bless you now. Let us all stand and we'll dismiss our service in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are truly indeed grateful to you, Lord. And Lord, we're thankful for your word. And Lord, we are thankful that you continue to work in our lives. And Lord, to help us to grow and to ever be in that image that you want us to be in, Father. And Lord, as that is to reflect you fully. Lord, we thank you for the love that is growing in our hearts and for the small things, Lord, even the small steps, even though they may not seem significant to anyone else, Lord, but we know it's a personal walk, Lord, and individual walk with you, and Lord, but we are a group of believers, Lord, and so this morning, Lord, we just want to grow in the likeness of you to be able to reflect you fully, Lord, and when that opportunity comes, Lord, that we could show that Christ is still alive to some person that may not know you, Lord. We pray that our temperance and our Christian attitude would show further and outshine our human response, Lord, of snapping back or whatever it may be. Father, help us to come out from that, Lord, and to forgive and to be able to take the lower road whenever it's necessary, Lord, there you require it. And Lord, by doing that, may we draw souls to you, Lord, and Lord, may people be able to see you through us, Father, is our prayer. Be with us now as we go our separate ways this morning, Lord. Keep us in your keep your word in our hearts, Father, Lord. Help us to feed on this, Lord, and to be able to grow. Lord, we expect great things from you, Lord, and we continue to look and see what you'd have for us in your word, Lord. And it just a great big circle, Lord, and how everything this you said is tied together, how perfect love is faith, Lord, and perfect love casts out all that doubt and that fear, Lord, that Satan is allowed to creep in our lives, Lord. So we just thank you, Father, and we just ask that you'd be with us for the remainder of this week, Father. Be with Brother Brian as he travels home. Be with the brothers and sisters in France, Father, and all of our brothers and sisters, Father. May you be their portion is our prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you, I guess. Take the name of... Oh, that's okay. The name of Jesus.